listen.
My life.
In every verse, I got rhymes.
What's up, what's up? It's your boy AT and your boy AE coming to you live and direct with another episode of Bars, Rhymes, and Life, where we break down the bars, relate to the rhymes, so we can shed light on our lives.
Just listen.
Feel the beat drop. In the battle for round.
Cruising down the river, dancing till your feet got numb. Cool summer breezes blowing through your hair as you stood gazing down the river in anticipation of the thrill of the dizzying rides at the amusement park. Ah, memories of Boblo Island.
Oh, is your world ain't nothing but a squirrel trying to get a nut. Just jealous of everybody that's headed out on that Boblo boat. It is the perfect weather, the perfect time to enjoy a few snacks. Oh, man. I wish I was joining you with a little cheese and crackers, a little can-eye wine, a little Rhea Needy on ice, some Harvey Bristol cream. But let's do this only on Smooth FM.
What's up, it's your boy AT coming to you live and direct with another episode of Bars, Rhymes, and Life. Yeah, I know you guys want me to do it. You guys want me to do it, right? You want me to start breaking down the Kendrick Lamar and Drake beef. That's not Bars, Rhymes, and Life. That's not Bars, Rhymes, and Life. I don't do this to chase views, streams, and money. It's just not what this is about. I will do it. I will get there. But I feel like it's better doing it when it's all said and done. And the way it's been going over the last 2 days, it ain't even begun. First person shooter happened. And then Kendrick just blew the whole thing out of the park with Like That. And then, honestly, the amount of releases, it's been difficult to almost keep up. I feel like it's been Drake twice with the 50 press-ups track. I know that's not the name of the track, but I just remember dropping Gimme 50. Then he came again with the TaylorMade freestyle, which was brazy as hell with the Tupac and Snoop AI modulation. Then Kendrick just went Euphoria. Yep, he went Euphoria. And then Drake dropped Family Matters. And then, oh my God, Kendrick came with Meet the Grahams and followed it up with Not Like That. Not Like That? I think it's Not Like That. This is all happening in less than a week. So, had I even done one of the tracks, I would have been out of date by another set of tracks. And I just don't think it's what I'm after. Those episodes are going to take, potentially going to take an incredible amount of time as well. And I'm just still not well. I don't know if you listened last week, but I'm just not well. But yeah, my whole thing is, that's not Bars, Rhymes, and Life. Bars, Rhymes, and Life is about bars, breaking down the bars, relating to the rhymes, to shed light on our lives. And the beef's not done yet. The beef's not done. I think Drake is still cooking. I think Kendrick's still cooking. And I'ma just do me, it's my life. Or as Kendrick say, don't ever dare say more life. Ooh. Royster 5'9 featuring J. Cole, Boblo Boat. Why did I pick this track? It's been on the playlist for a while. Huge fan of Royster 5'9. Think he's extremely, hugely, ginormously underrated. I know he's got bars for days and days and days and days and days and days, but I never can get that line out of my head. You got handed your own ass, your ass in your own hand. Oh, I think you need to go to the loo like that, or something like that. It was just, his rhythm on Welcome to Hell is just godlike. It's just godlike. This tune's so eclectic. This tune's so, whoa. The instrumental is, whoa. I can't begin to tell you. When I listen to it, It's almost like I want to go for a night cruise. And some tunes do that to you, right? This definitely does that. And I picked it because it just felt right. That's why I picked this track. I can't wait to get started. Let's get it. Nothing compared to our family trips. My uncle shook hands with a manly grip.
Nothing compared to our family trips. My uncle shook hands with a manly grip.
Really simple opening. A universal feeling. I'm now hitting an age. Tap, 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 tap. Tomorrow's my birthday. Tomorrow's my 37th birthday. Shit. Man be getting old. Abby is getting old. Don't feel old. Don't act old. But yeah, 37 years old. And I've just started to hit this kind of phase in my life where I do appreciate a lot of things. Like, yeah, I look back and I think, shit, I wasted a lot of time there. I wasted a lot of time with these people. And wasted a lot of time with her. But I think back and I go, wow, nothing compared to our family trips. And I think those that I've had the lucky opportunity of growing up in a loving household, those family trips, however non-extravagant, however repetitive, I remember I used to travel almost every other week to Leicester to visit our cousins. And yeah, I think back and I think they were good times. Those drives there and those drives back, we always used to listen to like one or two or three cassette tapes, and they were Bollywood tapes because my parents used to listen to Bollywood, and I used to listen to Bollywood too. And those three cassettes were on rotation. I used to know those tracks off by heart. But I think back and I think those were the times. Those were the times. And I almost dream that I'll be able to replicate those times for when I have a wife and for when I have children. And can I be able to extend that and still bring my parents into it for the limited time that we have? Because that is what life is about. Life is limited. And I think we lose sight of that too much. My uncle shook hands with a manly grip. Very, very specific line. Two things. I remember we had an uncle and he was just a G, yeah. He's not a direct uncle. He's like a, you know, everyone in the extended family or friends from a village back in India or something. You go, that's uncle, that's auntie. You just call everyone uncle and auntie, you know, in our culture, in our religion, in our faith and stuff. And this guy's hug was devastating. Like, he would hug you and you definitely had broken three ribs. That's how devastating his hug was. And I never forget, he used to always hug my little brother. My little brother would just start crying because it was painful. But everyone used to think, oh, what is he crying for? Like, he's just hugging him sort of thing. It was so funny. But, manly grip. Let's take the manly out of it. Abby's been working on his hand grip. Why has Abby been working on his hand grip? How's he been working on his hand grip? Bunch of chalk. Just rub it onto your hands. Jump up on a pole at the gym. And hold for as long as you fucking can. You'd be surprised what it does for your strength, what it does for your gym, what it does for your exercises, what it does for your health. And more surprisingly, what it does for your life expectancy. Ah, you didn't know about that, did you? You didn't know about that. Tell me what you're going to learn from all these influencers and all these reactors doing Kendrick and Drake beef. You're going to learn about how to live longer in life. Thought not. Whoops, thought not. In 2015, a study of almost 140,000 adults in high, middle and low income nations reduced hand grip strength was closely linked to mortality in people of all incomes, predicting risks for early death better than blood pressure, which is often considered one of the best indicators of lifespan. So actually, if you improve your hand grip, your chances of living a longer life, whether you want to do that or not, is increased and improved. Bars. And as a family, we were just so happy. when him and Mama got along on the Boblo boat. On our way to the black amusement park, wood roller coasters, crack sold on plastic scooter cars.
And as a family, we was just so happy when him and Mama got along on the Boblo boat. On our way to that black amusement park, wood roller coasters, crack sold on plastic scooter cars.
It's really interesting because I feel like Royce is explaining some sense of escapism, but laced with the realities and facts of life. It's like, we were so happy that we were going to this amusement park that was like specifically geared to his community and his life and his vibes. And whenever they went there, it was the few times, and I'm just extrapolating, I'm just abstracting, I'm not saying that this is the case, but it was the few times that him and his father and his mum would get along. And that felt good to him. It made him feel happy. Because when you're in a toxic environment and when you're in a toxic relationship, say to speak, it's infectious. It's infectious. It spreads. It affects other people. And that escapism and that sort of view of his parents actually getting along with each other gives him a sense of joy. And yeah, wood roller coasters that would probably be mad shaky and a bit scary to be on and stuff, with crack sold on plastic scooter cars. he's not painting a unbelievable, amazing amusement park that's like so perfect. It's like, no, this place is rough. This shit is not as wow as we're expecting, as I'm almost describing it, but the feelings were wow. My parents were happy. I was excited because I was going to have fun. I was going to get up to mischief. It's very, very interesting when you think about it, right? I came across my identity on the Boblo boat. That's where I lost my virginity. No condom, though. That's when paranoia hit me like when superstition does. Left my inhibitions, I guess, where my supervision was.
I came across my identity on the Boblo boat. That's where I lost my virginity. No condom though. That's when paranoia hit me like when superstition does. Left my inhibitions, I guess, where my supervision was.
Bars. Bars. I just can't begin to explain how good those last lines are. Like, the first two lines are almost self-explanatory, right? That he was on the Boblo boat and he's starting to figure out who he is because he's probably an adolescent, let's say anywhere between 14 and 16 and 17, something like that. He's got with a girl, no condom though. Don't need to spell that out. That's when paranoia hit me like when superstition does, which is a bar in itself, because there's so much connection. I didn't realize that there was such a specific connection between superstition and paranoia. One can't live without the other in some respects, don't you think? One can't live without the other. So when Kendrick says he's paranoid a lot, and he's always feeling paranoid, he must be a very superstitious guy. There has to be. Paranoia and superstition can't live without each other. But the bar, left my inhibitions, I guess, where my supervision was. Jeez. So what he's saying is probably he was given license, and this happens a lot when you're in a place where, like an amusement park or even just a park, you know, when you're with your extended family and now you're with all your cousins and they say, all right, look, can we go to that bit of the park, or can we go here, or can we do this, or can we go on that ride? Usually it's always a no if it's just you on your own or you with your sibling, but your dad and your mom might say, yeah, as long as you're with your cousins, stay together, keep together, you can go. And so you could see that almost like his supervision was somewhere else. His parents must have said, yo, Royce, go have fun, go do what you want to do, you're all right, as long as you're in this area, you're safe. And so that girl that he was checking, the girl that maybe no one else knows that likes him and he likes her, they fucking left their inhibitions where their supervision was, doing stupid shit. Nelly getting her pregnant. Oh, you don't want that. You don't want that heat. You don't want that heat. Bars. Yeah. some of my better times I shared with you. I shared with you. Shit, all of my better days I shared with you. I shared with you. Shit. And now I gotta wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Shit, stuck inside a rat race. Rat race. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up again. Stuck inside this rat race.
Yeah. Some of my better times I shared with you. I shared with you. Yeah. Shit. All of my better days I shared with you. I shared with you. Shit. And now I gotta wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Shit. Stuck inside a rat race. Rat race. Fuck. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up again. Stuck inside this rat race.
I thought this chorus from J. Cole was amazing and very, very insightful for me, because it's something that I've always held very close to me that I'm going to share with anyone that's listening. What J. Cole is saying in this chorus is true, and it's probably true for a lot of us, including myself, that some of the quote unquote best times of my life have been shared with people that are not a part of my life anymore. And then you get a little bit older. Then you get a little bit older. Then you get a little bit more cynical. And you get a little bit more like wary of the world. And then all of a sudden you're just stuck into this rut that I work, I sleep, I eat, I work, I sleep, I eat. And, you know, I can't feel like I used to feel like when I was with her, or when I was with my family, or when I was with them. Because I used to have, like, I used to laugh like never before, right? That inner child vibe, right? I think the best way to describe it is that inner child vibe. But I've promised myself that this will not be me. I'm going to be objectively honest enough to say I definitely feel like the way J. Cole's describing this chorus right now, I feel like some of the best days of my life are gone. I feel like some of the best times that I've experienced and some of the best experiences of my life are with people that are gone and just, they're not there no more. And I don't want them to be there anymore either. But what I will not accept, what I will not tolerate, is saying that it can't ever be. I am going to definitely make better times with the person that I want to spend the rest of my life with. I am going to make better times with my parents. I am going to make better times with the people that I consider real ones in the now. I'm going to do that. I'm going to make special, unique, unbelievable experiences. I'm going to do that. And I will get myself out of this rat race. Or I will get to a point where I will feel like the rat race doesn't feel like a rat race anymore. I mean, that's half the battle, isn't it? That is half the battle. Half the battle is to just be able to say, I know that I'm in the rat race, but I love the rat race. It's just when you don't love the rat race is when you know you're struggling. But yeah, all of my better days I shared with you, nah. My better days with those people are yet to come. My better days with those people are yet to come. And so I'm opposite to what J. Cole is saying on this chorus, but I'm not challenging what he's saying. I'm not saying what he's saying is wrong. I'm just saying what he's saying won't be true for me. Bars. Yeah, look, twist the cap, lift the bottle back, swig it, dig it, 10-inch rims on my mama Civic, 10-inch woofers in the trunk to be specific. They bump, rattle the license plate, plus the window's tinted.
Yeah. Look, twist the cap, lift the bottle back, swig it, dig it. 10-inch rims on my mama Civic. 10-inch woofers in the trunk, to be specific. They bump, rattle the license plate, plus the window's tinted.
Just hilarious in some respects. There's certain things that it's a very reminiscent of this track. This track's a very reminiscent type of track where I remember being around loads of people that used to hype things about their cars, especially when we were like 17, 18, when we just started passing our driving tests. And they would say things like, yeah, I got 10-inch rims, or I got like 20-inch rims in the car. And you'd just say yes to it. You'd be like, whoa, man, that looks sick. That looks fire. But you don't really know. You're just literally accepting whatever anyone was saying to you. And I just like it that he said 10-inch rims on his Civic, which, like, I don't think it would be even possible. Yet 10-inch woofers in the trunk, to be more specific. And I think I've mentioned this on a few episodes ages ago, that the biggest thing in our time was mans used to drive a Nissan Micra. And I think Nissan Micra might be up there as one of the most ugliest cars I've ever seen. But they were the cars that kids could only afford at a time and get insurance on, and some people would do some crazy mods to them, and they would just stick like massive subwoofers in them and speakers, and they'd just be banging their cars, and those cars were rattling like anything. But it just makes me laugh because it's so true. They bump rattle the license plate plus the windows, did it. And like, you know, Nissan Micra is such an ugly car. Like, it means nothing if you get that car tinted. Like, so what if you get the windows tinted? It still looks like shit. But people used to do it. Kids used to do it. And I'm going to be straight up honest. I'd be like, oh my God, that looks sick, bro. That looks nuts. They're tinted. Wow. Oh, those 10-inch rims? Wow. Are they alloys? They look crisp as fuck, man. Like, you just get so gassed as a kid. It's hilarious. It's so funny. Calling up hoes like we was Jodeci. Let's check her. Double D's like double deckers. I want to sex her. But these keys don't come with the game on how to finesse her. 5 semesters left until college. I'm under pressure. I'm not a real N-words until I dress her. I gotta press her.
Calling up hoes like we was Jodeci, let's check her. Double D's like double deckers, I wanna sex her. But these keys don't come with game on how to finesse her. 5 semesters left until college, I'm under pressure. I'm not a real nigga till I undress her. I gotta press her.
Jodeci was different, innit? Jodeci was different, I'm not gonna lie. Jodeci was raw. And it's crazy at that age how attractive certain girls look to you. And then you look back now and you're like, she wasn't even all that. And it's just, it does make you laugh. And I'm sure girls must have thought that about guys as well. Like, they must have thought, oh my God, Abby's such a hot guy, or this, that, the other. And now they probably look at me now and go, well, what the hell? Who's the fuck? Why did I even fancy him in the first place? It's just like life hits you like that. But what's so interesting, and one of the things that I think I'm so proud of, because I definitely know at least one of my relationships was broken due to my commitment to my education and my studies during uni. And I'm proud I wasn't like what Cole is describing here, which is, he doesn't feel like a man, or he doesn't feel like a real N-word until he's got the girl. And just because he's got the Honda Civic tinted with the rims, that might get you attention. It might get you attention. It might get you the eyes, but you still need game to get a girl. You still need game to get a girl. You still need to have a level of skill in terms of personable attraction. Personable interactions in order to get someone into your life and get someone to start feeling you. But I never felt like that at uni. I was at uni to get my degree and get the fuck out of there. And that was to the detriment of my relationship. But at the same time, I don't have any regrets about it whatsoever, because I was trying to make myself ensure that I have a good future for myself. Giving up missing lessons and not turning up to uni and all that kind of stuff just to keep a relationship going, I mean, fuck all to me. It didn't mean fuck all to me. And I think anyone that's at uni listening to this, focus on the now, man. Focus on what you're there for. If you feel like you're there to get experience and stuff, I kind of roll my eyes to it. You had school to do that. You got the rest of your life to do all those shit, those things. Getting a girl, if you haven't got a girl by the age of 18, it's like, don't worry, you can figure that stuff out. Like, you have to just develop your own game, but you're not gonna get any game for the rest of your life if you start failing yourself at lessons and not turning up to things. You know, a man is a man by being himself. Truly, truly, that is the case. And a woman is a woman by being herself too. So, yeah, don't pressure yourself. Don't put any pressure on yourself. You don't need any pressure on that. Listen to some Jodeci, might give you some game. This was my main concern back when concerns were lesser. Nowadays, I often yearn to press the backspace button or hit return. But life is not no word processor.
This was my main concern back when concerns were lesser. Nowadays I often yearn to press the backspace button or hit return. But life is not no word processor.
Bar of the track. J. Cole know about his word, right? He knows about his Microsoft Word. Could you hit the backspace? If you could hit the backspace on a few things in life, would you? I'll be honest, yes. 100% I would. Backspace. Delete. 100%. I know some people say, no, those are experiences of what makes you better. Fuck off with that shit. The things that broke us are the things that made us. Fuck off with that shit. If I could avoid some of these things, I would be further along the line in where I want to be right now. I'm not regretful. I think regret is a very extreme thing to say about stuff. But yeah, man, if I could wipe some of those embarrassing moments in my life, if I could wipe some of the injuries, the moments that I've had injuries that I feel like, yeah, I just forced it. I forced myself to come back because I was just so obsessed with playing. Just a little bit more patience and I wouldn't have half the injuries that I'd have. Of course I'd backspace those things. Of course I would backspace those things. But life is not no word processor. And you just have to process what you got right now. Oh, what a bar. What an unbelievable bar to end it on. Yeah, a nice, smooth, vibey track. Nothing but love to Royce da 5'9 and all of his fans. Nothing but love to J. Cole and all of his fans. Nothing but love to all the BRL listeners out there. One.
Most folks would burn the cesta, burn the stressor. My real life drama plus fickle niggas thinking they done heard the best of Jermaine Lamar, but that's insane and couldn't be further left of. The truth is that my new shit slap, you never heard it better. Give me a sec, I murder sectors, prefer to let ya see it rather than say it, but it spill out. I gotta chill out, say fuck the world and never pull out. We had no Pablo boat, but I could note those times just like a Bible quote. BC, before cell phones, the first time I would smoke, I was 6 years old, but that's for another chapter. As for another story, to God be the glory, I made it out unscathed and now I sunbathe with my son in Tanzanian sun rays, thinking about them days, thinking about them days. Wake up again.